We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorlin' U.
Welcome in. Very exciting week 9 in college football. Nearly cutting to the end. We've turned the corner. It's November, week 8 in the NFL. I gave you some NFL last week, kind of switched up how I'm doing things on this. 2-0 in the National Football League. Ravens -1.5, Patriots -2.5. Hopefully that makes up for another miserable weekend in the college game. But this week, I'm coming back. I feel good. I've got more NFL for you because, hey, the more the merrier. And I've got a good bevy here of college football games, some of the biggest of the weekend that I know you'll have your eyes on. It is a huge weekend with some of the games that we'll be watching. Georgia, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson. I've got a couple others, but I have 5 plays in both college and 5 in the NFL. I want to get to those quickly. I apologize also for the delayed release. I know usually this would be every Thursday. Yesterday was Thursday for me. Yesterday there was some stuff that came up at work. I ended up doing some other things, so this got pushed back. Now I'm dropping it on Friday. Very excited to sit down and watch some of these games. I mean, Georgia, Tennessee, that gets big screen treatment. That is not going to be on the laptop. It won't be on the iPad. That one's going to be on the big screen. LSU, Alabama, always one of the most fun matchups of the season. LSU, of course, number 10 in the country. Alabama, number 6. So kind of a thriller there. Georgia, 3. Tennessee, 1. It's loaded. And then you have the pageantry that comes with Clemson going to Notre Dame at night. That's going to be a fantastic game, even though, you know, Notre Dame's been disappointing. The Marcus Freeman experience hasn't been maybe what they hoped it would be. That may flip this weekend. We'll see. Rutgers, Michigan will be on the list, and then we'll get to the NFL. But I want to start Georgia, Tennessee. And honestly, the breakdown on this is relatively easy for me. Georgia, to me, is a team that somehow is flying under the radar. I get that they struggled. You know, if you look back and you look at the game against Mizzou in particular, the game against Kent State, those are two spots where, yeah, Georgia didn't look like Georgia. And anytime you lose, I believe, 8 starters from your defense to the NFL draft, 5 of them in the first round, there's going to be some regression. But Georgia hasn't lost. Like I said, we're turning the corner into November. It's time for teams to turn it up. I think you have Kirby Smart, who, frankly, whether you think the CFP is nonsense or not, and I absolutely think it is nonsense when they release it this week and everybody gets up in arms. Georgia number 3, how does that happen? They should be number 1. Tennessee going ahead of them, Ohio State going ahead of them, TCU 7. That makes no sense. I agree. A lot of this is weird kind of garbage stuff. But what you do get is you put Georgia 3rd in the CFP. You just gave them bulletin board material. You just gave them Lincoln Riley. You just gave Kirby Smart something he can use to get his team up for this game. He can tell them in that locker room, you ain't shit. You haven't done shit. 8 guys left this, graduated, went to the NFL. We rebuilt our defense, and you haven't earned it. And that's why you're down there. Number 3, I think Georgia has a bulletin board game here. I think Georgia at home hosting number 1 Tennessee. Look, you round the corner in November. You're not really the freshman anymore, even if you are. You're not that young new starter anymore, even if you are. You have the experience, and now you have the disrespect card, and Kirby Smart can play it. And maybe Tennessee is just that, you know, 2019 Joe Burrow LSU. Unbelievable offense. They don't play a lot of defense, but it doesn't matter because nobody can stop them. Maybe they are that team. And if they are, like, here's the deal. Tennessee goes out. Tennessee wins this game at Georgia. They're winning it all. Tennessee wins this game at Georgia. They are automatically going to be the favorite to win the national title. They should be. Right now, they are not. Right now, Georgia, I believe, is plus 100, Alabama plus 150. Then you get to Tennessee plus 300 after you get to Ohio State even. So Tennessee, to me, they go win this. They're going to win it all. They'll be the favorite. They will win every game. They will win it all. But I just don't see that happening. And the line being posted at 8, all of the money in the world, 97% of the bets. Second time we've seen that this year, by the way. That was that way against Alabama. Everybody and their mother was betting Tennessee. Everyone and their mother was betting Tennessee this time. I don't think the public wins twice. My number on this game when I made it was Georgia minus 10. So when you see minus 8, I feel like I'm getting 2 points of value. And I really like the Bulldogs in this spot at home, able to play the disrespect card with a fiery crowd that will feel disrespected. It's a spot to me where, look, Tennessee could keep this close, but this game could also go sideways fast. And Tennessee hasn't been in this spot on the road yet. They got Alabama, remember, in Knoxville. They got Kentucky, I believe, in Knoxville. And while they blew those two teams out in what was closer spreads, I really just feel like Georgia's a match too much. Georgia, to me, still remains the best team in the country, despite some of the struggles. So I have Georgia minus 10 as my number. I'm going to bet Georgia minus 8. Alabama. Not vintage Alabama. I mean, this is an Alabama team that takes the most accepted penalties of any team in the country. This is an Alabama team that does not look solid on the back end of their defense. The secondary has been horrific this year. It may be the worst secondary Nick Saban has ever had. This Alabama team, to be quite honest with you, is bad. It's not relative to Alabama. It's awful. Now, it's a I'm not telling you that they're Texas A&M, but this ain't Alabama. So when you see 13.5 get put up in Death Valley, that's the tough part. At night in Death Valley, you're going to walk in and beat LSU by more than 2 touchdowns with a secondary that blows. LSU's had some spots where they have struggled this season. The Tennessee game, I think you throw out. Weird game plan, a lot of running the football, didn't take advantage of a bad Tennessee secondary. But you look at what LSU's been able to do, and first year with Brian Kelly, they've hung around 45 points on Ole Miss, and they were down early in that game. They had a come-to-Jesus moment where, look, Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss team, it ain't all that, and we're not going to let them come bully us. And they ended up blowing them out 45-20. LSU at Florida in the Swamp, and I know Florida's been disappointing. I don't care how bad they are. You go to the Swamp, it's a difficult place to play. LSU 45, Florida 35. Jaden Daniels has been playing really well lately. And like I said, that Bama secondary is bad. I actually think LSU has a chance to win this game outright. So LSU +13.5, one of my favorite plays on the board. Sticking with the SEC, Mizzou, a 1-point favorite against Kentucky. Missouri, right here, this is the spot. When you look at what's going on with Kentucky, they have a head coach who's talking about if you aren't producing, you're gone. I think that applies to the offensive coordinator. But you have an offensive coordinator, frankly, not very smart. If you go back and look at the game plan, Kentucky against Tennessee, first down, run. Second down, single back, tailback, run. Third down, third and long, pass. You are not doing any favors to your quarterback. And this Will Levis, I'm sorry. We got to stop it with this Will Levis. First round pick, my ass. You don't go get blown out in Knoxville against that defense, and you can't put anything up. You can't operate a tendency breaker. It doesn't look like you can run play action. There are talk among fans of Kentucky that the play calling is being run to hide the NFL talent of the quarterback, to keep him in a position where maybe his draft stock doesn't get messed up. Kentucky, to me, it's a team that's gone sideways. It's a team that had a lot of promise, that potentially had, like, like win the SEC promise, contend with Georgia. The season's kind of been a mess. Now the coaching has been a mess. Now they're talking about probably firing people. Missouri, on the other hand, I know Mizzou's not the greatest team. They have a great defense. They'll make life difficult on Levis when teams have made his life hard. Kentucky's been very bad. Mizzou, a 1-point home favorite. Effectively, you're picking a winner. I like Mizzou. Notre Dame hosting Clemson, night game, preseason. I told you Clemson had some losable games. Wake Forest, they went to war, and they came out kind of lucky to win that one in Winston-Salem. That's not a great Wake Forest team. I told you Miami. It's probably not true anymore because Miami blows. Syracuse may have been the other one. Syracuse, they turned that ball over four times. Again, they had no business beating Syracuse. When you have four turnovers and you make a third quarter quarterback change, you don't have any business beating Syracuse. Going into Notre Dame at night, Marcus Freeman starting to figure some things out. Notre Dame looking better of late throughout the Stanford loss. I like Notre Dame to just win this game. It's one of the toughest places to play in the country, especially when you talk about a night game. Clemson going on the road, quarterback controversy. The secondary has been bad, frankly. I mean, when you talk about some of these brands, Alabama, Clemson, they've got problems on the back end of the defense. Marcus Freeman's figuring things out. Notre Dame's building for the future, seeing who can play. Everybody kind of knows what this is. I like Notre Dame to straight up win this game. Notre Dame money line plus 150. Rutgers plus 26 hosting the Michigan Wolverines. And I like the Scarlet Knights. Rutgers doesn't get talked about a lot in terms of the talent that they have. They kind of go under the radar. I think if you're a public bettor, if you're a person who maybe hasn't watched these two teams very much, you look at this and just go, 20, this should be 30, 35, 40. We're not seeing those types of lines with Michigan. We're seeing them with Ohio State, hello, laying 38 at Northwestern. We're not seeing them with Michigan this season. And part of the reason for that is Michigan's red zone offense is awful. Awful. Most of the offense that they've generated this season has not been off the arm of J.J. McCarthy. It's been off the strength of their offensive line, the best in America, and the ability for Blake Corum to create things out of the backfield. He's been great at that. But here's the little dirty secret. Rutgers has one of the best rush defenses in the country, and they're not playing nobody. They made life very difficult on Ohio State. Ohio State, whose offense I value significantly higher than I value Michigan's. In fact, if Ohio State were to play Michigan today, I would have Ohio State listed as a 9-point favorite. So when I see Rutgers getting 26 at home in Piscataway against Michigan, I really feel like based on what we've seen from the Rutgers defense, they've been very talented. They've been effective stopping the rush. It's a spot where, yeah, I would look at this and go, yeah, I kind of like Rutgers. I kind of like Rutgers here just because of Michigan's inability to run quality plays in the red zone, Michigan's inability to score in the red zone. They've relied on their kicker, Jake Moody, way more than necessary this season. I like Rutgers plus 26. All right, on to the Shield. The NFL on Sunday, I honestly see a lot of edges on this board. I know the public, if you've been listening to other things, if you've been talking to other people, it's a big weekend for home dogs. You've got the Lions at home, 3.5-point underdog. You've got the Jets at home, 11-point underdog. You've got the Falcons at home, I believe 3 at the time of taping is the line there. When you look around the NFL, like Washington at home getting 3. The Falcons getting 3. There's a lot of home dog going on. New Orleans getting 2.5 against Baltimore. I'm not going to be super heavy on the home dog theory here. Let's start with the local game, the noon game, Miami at Chicago. This number's cratering. And I got to tell you, I think everybody betting it is on the wrong side. I made this number a week ago, and I sent it to Cap and Hoodie, and I made this number myself at Miami -7. That was before the Bradley Chubb trade. Now, that trade isn't going to move the line a whole lot because I don't know how many snaps he's going to play, but premium position like pass rusher will typically move a line about 0.5 to a point. I don't know the snaps, so I didn't move the line based on that. If you tick the Dolphins down a little bit after the Steelers game, if you tick them, if you tick the Bears up because we've seen some better stuff from their offense, I just think you're asking yourself if you're getting into a really bad spot here. Because, look, I truly think that Miami should be about a 6-7 point favorite here, and they're getting bet down now to 4. I see a lot of value. I understand the Bears being home. Maybe the defense wants to fire itself up because of the trades. Roquan Smith, Robert Quinn, no longer here. Maybe Eddie Jackson galvanizes everybody. And the fact that you got Chase Claypool and the offense has looked better. But the problem for me is, how do you stop Miami? And I don't know that you do. Now, there is a little bit of danger because, look, Miami was down 21-7 against Detroit. Miami was down 4 scores against Baltimore. Miami's won some kind of freakish miracle comeback games. Part of that is because their offense is really freaking good. Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle account for 50% of their receptions. Tyreek Hill leads the league in both catches and yardage. And it's not like guys aren't figuring that out. It's not like it's not on film. It's been on film for a decade. He just finds soft spots in zones. He figures out where to be. And honestly, I don't think the Bears have the personnel to cover it. I think the Bears have among the worst defenses in the NFL. It's right there with Detroit. And I don't think that the Bears have the offensive line that Detroit has. So they may struggle a little bit out in passing the ball. I can't get to a spot where I'm going to react in such a way with the public that the trade deadline has such an influence on this game that it should be moved down from the 5 it was at yesterday to 4. I can't get there. I can't do it. I still think this should be 6 or 7. I'm going Miami -4. Buffalo at the Jets. I'm flying in the face of it again. I can't get behind the home dog here. I made this line a week ago, Buffalo -12. So it opened, and I believe it was 12.5, 13. I couldn't bet it because I had the number at 12. Now that it's crossed that line of 11.5 and it's sitting at 11, I'm interested. I'm going to bet the Bills -11. I don't want to overreact too much to the inability to cover a massive number against the Packers. I think the Jets are wildly overrated. If you watched Zach Wilson against the Patriots, he looked like the worst quarterback in NFL history. I mean, he looked every bit the part of a Nathan Peterman type. This team, to me, you lost Breece Hall. You don't have that weapon on your offense anymore. The defense has been good, but do we believe it's good enough to cover Josh Allen, to cover Stephon Diggs, to cover Gabe Davis, to cover Dawson Knox? If the Bills end up getting Nyheim Hines in rotation, their running game is significantly improved. I just think the Bills are a much, much better team here. Like I said, I have them 12. It's crossed into 11. At 11, it's a bet. 11.5, 12, no play. The Washington Commies, the Commanders, +3 at home against Minnesota. This is the one home dog I'm interested in. Minnesota is fraudulent. Kirk Cousins ranks 30th among qualified quarterbacks, 33 of them. 30th out of 33 in QBR. He ranks 33rd out of 33 in air yards per attempt. And the Washington Commanders with Heinicke, look, I'll admit it, they're better. Heinicke's first half against Green Bay was horrendous. He kept trying to throw the ball away. Since that first half, he came back in that second half. They won. They've won 3 straight games. They're starting to look more like a talented team, more like a cohesive offense. They kind of have rallied behind Heinicke, and they're getting healthy. And I think Minnesota going on the road, asking them to cover a field goal, it's too much. This team's not good. Minnesota, you've got Kirk Cousins on the road in FedEx. I know there's not a huge home field advantage, but it's still an NFL team traveling. Washington +3 is an easy bet for me. Green Bay at Detroit, again, got to fly in the face of the home dogs. Green Bay -3.5 is a huge overreaction to what's been happening with their team. I know everybody's down on the trade deadline. I am too. The Lions' defense is literally historically bad. They just fired their defensive backs coach. They may fire their head coach, Dan Campbell, who's been wholly incapable of making anything even remotely close to a good decision on the field all season. So I look at Green Bay here, -3.5. I made this game -5. I like the Packers to cover the 3.5. I like Aaron Rodgers to go into Detroit and remind Lions fans, I do own you. This, to me, is not going to be within a field goal. I'm betting Green Bay. And then finally, New England, -5.5 versus Indianapolis in New England. I'm taking the home favorite at 5.5. I make this game 6.5, so I'm betting the 5.5. And the deal with the Patriots for me, this is just a fun fact. It's the team I've had the best read on, college, pro, or otherwise, all season. I have won every single bet I've made on the Patriots, save one. And the one that I lost was that bullshit game against the Ravens when Mac Jones repeatedly diapered himself and then got hurt on the final play. The Ravens, again, the Patriots' defense absolutely failed in that game. The Ravens had no business winning it. It looked way more wide open than it really was. It was a close game in the fourth quarter. Mac Jones pissed down his leg. The Patriots' defense was completely inept against a running quarterback. Lamar Jackson is a good running quarterback. Sam Ellinger is a bad running quarterback. I like the Patriots -5.5 against the Colts at home. It should be 6.5. And I bet Miami the opener to beat the Patriots. I bet Miami is a 3-point favorite, covered. I bet the Patriots to cover against the Ravens. That did not cover. Since then, I've won every single bet I've made on a Patriots game. That includes Bears +8.5. That includes last week when I gave you Patriots -2.5 at the Jets. So all I can tell you is I feel like I have the best read of anyone on this Patriots team. -5.5 against the Colts to me with Sam Ellinger is an easy play. The Colts are horrid. That's Snorling You. Thank you for listening. I love you all. Cap and J Hood show Monday through Friday, 7 to 10, ESPN 1000. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Good luck.